Hey, look, we're going to talk some more about outreach. We talked about outreach last week. And it's sometimes a challenging conversation, and it's something that everybody, I think most believers, desire to do or be at least be a part of. And if you were here or tuned in online or able to hear the message, you heard me conclude with the whole idea that if each one would reach one, we would grow pretty quickly in number. And I just want to make sure y'all realize that when we talk about each person reaching one person in a year's time, what I mean is that that one person either comes to Christ and is saved and becomes part of the church family by way of that great moment, or is already a believer and they're just looking for a church family to be a part of. All right, we're not talking about those of our friends who show up and then stay for a little while and then they're gone for whatever the reasons might be. We're actually asking the Lord to help us increase our number so that for the sole purpose of having more hands on deck so that we can serve the Lord even better, right, and do His will together so that He'll be glorified. That's what it's all about. All right, so just kind of keep that in mind, because we're going to bounce off of that with a little bit of how-to, I think, this morning, because that's the big question, isn't it? Whenever we talk about evangelizing or doing outreach and trying to get people to know about the Lord, or maybe try to help your loved ones or your neighbors who don't know the Lord to be saved. And the big question is how to do that. All right, so I'm not going to give you, you know, the Bible has all the answers. Y'all agree with that? So my first instruction to you all is read your Bible and then ask the Lord what to do. All right, but I'm going to try to give us some things to think about and some things to ponder and pray about in our own lives and as a church, so that God would have His way and great things would happen, not only here at the church, but in the lives of those who are lost. That's the whole thing, right? All right. I'm going to start off using Mark chapter 2 as an illustration. It's not going to be on the board. You have to open up your Bibles for this one. I got some other scripture on the screens for you here in a little bit. But I think y'all know the story. Y'all know what happened here. But I'm going to read through the first five verses of chapter 2 in the Gospel of Mark. When he's running around preaching and teaching and healing people in Galilee and other places, and now he's going to go to another place called Capernaum. All right, verse 1. When he had come back to Capernaum several days afterward, it was heard that he was at home, and many were gathered together so that there was no longer room, not even near the door. And he was speaking the word to them. And they came, bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. Being unable to get to him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had dug an opening, they let down the pallet on which the paralytic was lying. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." All right, and then the rest of that account, the rest of what goes on there, is all the Pharisees and religious leaders and the naysayers start questioning Jesus. Who are you to tell somebody that their sins are forgiven? And that's ultimately what leads Jesus to be crucified. All right, because he is, by doing that, he is saying, "I have the authority to forgive sins." And he did. We all know he did. And what I want to focus on in the illustration that I'm looking at would lead us to a question that I want to hope to answer, or at least ask the Lord to help us answer in our own hearts and maybe here at the church as well, because we know that outreach or evangelism is one of the must-have elements for a church to be growing spiritually and in number. All right, that's what our goal is. That's what we're asking the Lord to help us do. All right, so We're genuine disciples. We have genuine fellowship. We have genuine ministries. I feel like there's been plenty of evidence, as I spoke to a little while ago, over the last several weeks, of those things here at the church, right? So we're praising the Lord for that y'all are pretty healthy, growing individuals in Christ, and that makes me believe that we are on our way to being a really healthy and growing church that honors God. And today we're going to finish talking about the need for outreach. The question that we're trying to answer, here it is, y'all. What are we willing to do to bring someone to Christ? whether you know them or not. I'm not talking about only your friends or only your family. I'm not talking about only your neighbors. I'm talking about anybody who's not saved. What are you, what am I willing to do to help that person get to a place where they can meet Jesus and he can fulfill whatever they need they have in their life? Salvation, healing, strength, encouragement, whatever it is. Our job, our assignment is to go and get people and bring them to Jesus. Show them who Jesus is. And that doesn't always mean bring them into the church house, even though that can be part of it, as we're going to find out. But it just means, are we presenting Christ to the world? And the question is, what are we willing to do? How far are we willing to go to help someone in need? And even when I'm writing this down in my notes, that question, it forces me to sit back and say, I want to know the answer to that for myself. And I want it to be a good answer. I want it to be an answer that God would be pleased with, but I'm not sure all the time, right? Because how many times have each one of us missed opportunities in life to be a witness or to say a certain thing or to even just give somebody a hug or pray over them or anything that the Lord would put in front of us, and we miss it? And I don't know that most of the time that's because we don't want to do the ministry. I think it's because we're not paying attention, mostly. I don't want to give us too many excuses, because excuses are not going to get us anywhere, right? So the question that we have to keep in our mind is, how much are we willing to do, how far are we willing to go to bring someone to Christ? You see these guys, check this out. You guys are going to love this. Check this out. Boom. Masterpiece. That's my stick figure. That's my computer-drawn stick figure of these four men lowering this dude into the roof to see Jesus with all the people around. Right? So it's like, okay, are you willing to do something like that? Are we willing to do that? If it was like literally a thing to do to bring someone to Christ, would we be willing to climb up on a roof, cut a hole in it, and drop a person down gently so that they don't like fall down, right? Just so that they would see Jesus? Are we willing to make that kind of sacrifice? That's as I was preparing for this how-to, it's like, okay, that's one way that these guys did it, all right? And this house full of people that you couldn't even get through the door, suddenly the one who needed Jesus the most in that moment was right in front of him. And guess what? Everyone in the vicinity heard Jesus say, your sins are forgiven. And everyone in the vicinity heard him be challenged about that. And then everyone in the vicinity heard Jesus' response. You can go ahead and read it for yourself. They heard him say, I do have the authority, and you're out of line, right? Jesus constantly showing the world who he is. So that's our illustration for this morning. So let's go to Colossians chapter 4. And we're going to look at a few how-tos, if you need a how-to. Everybody needs a how-to. Give me something to do. Give me something to think about. Show me something. That's just our nature. That's what we need. We need somebody to draw us a picture. That was me trying to draw a picture. I'm just saying. Colossians chapter 4, verse 5 and 6 says this, conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. Remember, we talked about salt of the earth and light of the world. Remember that? Ministry. And Jesus is just always teaching us that we're to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Well, the Colossians are being told about who they are in Christ. They're being told about the need for Jesus and that he's the center of it all. He's what it's all about. So he's saying, because you're in Christ, to the Colossians, he's saying, because you're in Christ, he's telling them, look, with wisdom toward outsiders. Who are the outsiders? The ones who are not believers. It sounds like an ugly word in our culture today, because it's not proper to call somebody an outsider. But what he means is there's those in the world who are saved, they're part of the family, and there's those who aren't saved. That's the only difference. Because we're all sinners failing our God. And it's because of Jesus we can even have any difference between saved and unsaved. All right? So we understand that the task, the command, the instructions are to go into the world and tell the world about Jesus. Well, if we only hang out with other believers, then we'll never accomplish the goal. And by the way, if you haven't noticed, the church is kind of bad about doing that. We create all these things that are Christian this, Christian that, Christian that. And it's sporting events, different organizations that are just run by, have Christian values, and all the Christians go hang out together. Well, Jesus hung out with sinners, y'all. Jesus went where the sinners were. He didn't go sin with them, but he hung out with them and talked to them and taught them wisdom toward outsiders. Ask yourself this question. Don't answer it out loud. Just ask yourself, when you see people in general, what is your knee-jerk reaction to what you see? And if we're like most, we see what's on the outside. If they are engaged in some sinful activity and it's evident in their life, that's how we see that person. Oh, they're that kind of people. They go do those kind of things. They might be great people, but we see them for so-and-so does this or that. All right? I don't think that's the way the Lord wants us to do it. I don't think that's the way Jesus did it. I don't think that's the way that's going to help us make disciples. It's not going to help us see outsiders with wisdom, because the goal is that we need to try to see what God sees in people. And it's difficult, because sometimes the behavior is so outrageous and so out of the ordinary, it's hard to get past the problem. Right? And see that there's a human being that Jesus died for there. And they're not like me. And I was a sinner, but I didn't do those kind of things, for crying out loud. But God wants us to go into the world and see what he sees in people. Because I'll tell you this, and we ought to be praising the Lord about it. When he looks at me and when he looks at you, he don't see what even we see, or what the world sees as far as our sinful behavior goes. He sees what Jesus died for. And he's desperately wanting us to surrender to him so that he can make that a reality in our life. Make sense? So when we're conducting ourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, that's what he's meaning. He's like, because you're in Christ, we're going to treat people the way Christ would treat people. And Jesus never let anybody stay in their sin without addressing it. However, he addressed it with love and caring attitude. He came among them and looked into their eyes and saw the sin and said, no, that's not who you really are, so let's just stop sinning, okay? And then you can just pick up your mat and go on and don't sin anymore. Or he'll meet a person and say, all right, maybe we should stone this one. But how about whichever one of y'all are innocent should throw the first one? How about that? Not excusing the sinful person, but pointing out what he really sees, which is one of his loved ones in trouble. Without making excuses for the sin, he covers it with grace and love. Isn't that amazing, y'all? And it's hard because the world has trained us to segregate people according to how bad their sins are. And there are many people who have done many bad things, wicked things, who have been dealt with by man's law and are in prison, who have genuinely repented and now are children of God. Yeah, you see what I'm saying? So if we're going to be disciple makers, if we're going to go out into the world and do what Jesus died for us to do, we must see people the way God sees people. So we must ask Him for the wisdom that we need toward those who aren't saved. Then He says, make the most of every opportunity. And if you're honest, if we're honest with ourselves, that can be a little discouraging at times, can it? Because I can't be the only one that misses opportunities. You know? I mean, it's almost instant anymore. Like, I don't even make it very far beyond the opportunity, and the Lord's like, really? Really? You're so wrapped up in yourself right now that you couldn't do something for that person? You couldn't recognize that? He's not mad at me. He's just saying, hey. He's like snapping his holy fingers. Get your focus on what we're doing here as a Christian, as a believer. He probably don't talk to y'all like that. I'm just hard-headed sometimes, so he has to get real with me. He probably had to just say, he just grabbed me by the shirt collar and say, we don't care about you right now because this person needs some help. Okay? And if we miss opportunities, praise God for His grace and His patience. If God ran out of patience with folks, I'd be in trouble a long time ago. I probably never got saved. He's working with you. But you got to be willing. You got to make the most of every opportunity. Pray for the opportunity. Wait for the opportunity. Expect the opportunity. And when it happens, boom, you're all over it with the Lord. All right. And then he says, let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. Isn't that the biggest question? How do I talk to people about the Lord? How do I love people? How do I share Christ with people? How do I answer people that don't know what's going on in their... What do I say? Well, whatever you say, say it with love. Whatever you say, make sure it's seasoned with salt, meaning make sure it comes from God. Maybe it's something that Jesus might say. And all the time I've been serving the Lord in my role as a preacher, one of the most valuable things I've ever learned is sometimes I'm able to say way more when I don't say anything than when I do when I try to say the right things. What I mean is just be there wherever the Lord leads you to be. And it's okay for somebody to say, what's going on? I don't understand, or has a bunch of questions, and you can just say, I don't know. I just don't know. I've been down that road myself. I wish I knew the answer. And you watch, the Lord will give you something to do or say for those people in that time. It may not give them the answer, but there's somebody there that actually cares, right? There's somebody there that they can just think out loud with and emote to. And next thing you know, you're being the hands and feet of Jesus. It says you'll know how to respond to each person. It says that right there in the Word of God. Not because of you, but because of the one who's in you. Because you're making the most of every opportunity. The Spirit of God is leading you, and you're taking care of your church members, your brothers and sisters in Christ, as we've been doing in such a great way for so long. And what happens is that bleeds out into the community. You know? And we need to get in the habit of telling people, when we tell people about our church congregation, say, look, this is your church too. You just don't know it yet. When they ask you, what church do you go to? Oh, I go to your church. No, well, I don't go to church. Well, that's because you don't know it's your church yet. But it's your church. You're part of the family. I'm not scared to say that to somebody. Here's some different approaches. I'm going to go through these quickly because I'm going to make another point after that. Thinking about this particular scripture, the first how-to, you might want to write these down if you want to pray about them and ask the Lord about them, and they're not a checklist. It's just you need to, maybe you should take these ways to approach outreach or to minister to folks, and put them together with the gifts of the Holy Spirit, fruits of the Spirit kind of stuff, and be in prayer about it. The first way, and the most obvious way, is to proclaim the gospel. Proclaim the truth. Speak out loud. Thus saith the Lord. Whatever, you know, I'm doing it right now. You may not be called to do that. You may not be called to stand up and preach a sermon. But I've preached more sermons at the coffee shop than I've ever preached in the pulpit with somebody who either I used to work with or somebody in the family or some neighbor or whatever. Just because the conversation started, we'll get to that one. So you can preach. You don't have to preach at people, but sometimes when you're saying what the Bible says, you don't even have to quote Bible verses. You just say what the Bible says. You don't have to say it word for word. Just make sure it's the truth. Insert truth with your mouth, with your words. All right? Here's one of the best ways I know to get people to understand what you believe and why. All right? Is your own testimony. Each one of you who are saved have a testimony about Jesus, about the gospel, about God and His love and His grace and His mercy and what He's done for you, what He's done in spite of you. Why did part of my testimony is I don't know what the Lord was thinking, but here I am saved. Okay, and there's every one of you have a unique story about God and His love. And it will always be tied to the gospel. It will always be tied to everything that Jesus taught when He was on the planet, teaching and preaching as we just witnessed in Mark's gospel. So your testimony is a powerful thing because there's nothing better than an eyewitness for other people to consider, okay, this is maybe true. Because you and I are living our lives the way we do because of what we've experienced and seen with God. We can say what Scripture says all day long. We drew the stick figure up there of this story where these guys are dropping this dude into this room through the roof. But we weren't there and we didn't experience that. We didn't see that. We just know about it because it's in the Word of God. But I can tell you this. I tell a better story because it happened to me. I can tell that story because it's in the Bible, but the story about me and what God's done for me, I can tell it way better because I'm connected to it, you see. And somebody who doesn't know God or somebody who's considering or maybe somebody who's just been wrestling with God, you're only going to convince them to believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior if they believe that you believe. So your testimony is powerful. Another thing. Invitational. Y'all do this all the time. Most believers do this all the time. It's just inviting folks. We invite people to church all the time. And I'm telling you, keep doing it. I just don't want you to think it's the only way. Okay, it's just part of it. It's not just inviting folks to church. Sometimes it's inviting folks to the men's breakfast, inviting folks to the ladies' breakfast, inviting people to some barbecue or some cookout. Maybe the guys are going to go do something that guys do. We're going to go throw axes in the woods or something. We'll get some other dudes to come with us. Get some of the ladies to come. They can throw some axes too. Just get out the way. You understand what I'm saying, right? Invite people into our fellowship. You don't have to be saved to hang out with us. You don't have to believe to hang out with us. We just want to hang out with us and love on you. We want you to be a part of what we're doing. And guess what's going to happen? They're going to get around God and they're going to not be able to resist Him. That's how powerful the gospel is, y'all. It's just the way it is. All right, next thing, service, ministry. We talked about ministry, right? It's important. We got to have ministry happening. That means we're serving one another and also serving the community. Just like we did yesterday. There was a lot of food in this building was brought in here because everybody in the room that was involved, some of them aren't here today, did some work, and the food was brought in here. And I went back there after it was almost all over, and that table was all but cleared out. That food was ate up, y'all. I'm saying, man, there's not much left in here, praise the Lord. And I was happy about that. And it's not really about just making food for people, even though food seems to be a tool that the Lord uses to bring people together, if you think about it. When you sit at the table with somebody, that's an intimate experience. It really is. Whether you're drinking coffee or eating food or whatever you're doing. And when that family came in here looking for some closure and looking for some healing, we pray that they found that, not only in the food that we provided, but the family atmosphere that they found when they came here and the conversations that went on during the service. All of that is serving someone. That means putting someone else first, putting yourself second. These people, these guys, these men, they dropped this guy. They dug a hole in the roof and then dropped this man to the floor. And you know as well as I do, all four of them men that did that needed Jesus just as much as the man on the mat. But they put him first. They put him first. Are we willing to do stuff like that? Are we willing to serve somebody, even if it's a bad timing situation? Because I think most people I know around here just will do anything for anybody, just about. But you're human beings like I am, and sometimes you're in the middle of something else and somebody needs something. You're just like, oh. And you're torn. It's like, I got to go do this for this person, but I can't stop. And you're just trying to figure out what to do. And ultimately, the Lord would have us make the sacrifice, wouldn't he? He would have us make sacrifice for others. Because all of this ministry is what moves people closer and closer to Christ. They may not get saved because of some service or some invitation or some testimony. They might not get saved in that moment, but it's something else that God is using to draw that person closer to him. All right. It may be the time where they say, yeah, I'm ready to make him Lord and Savior. You might be that person, but most of the time, you're just moving them closer by doing these things. So you guys know all about service, ministry, being the hands and feet of Jesus. How about this relational approach? I think this could be the easiest, most natural way. Really, it used to be called friendship evangelism. You ever heard that before? I don't like that term, but that's what it, just making friends with people. Just go hang out and be friends with people. You all got neighbors, and you try to be a good neighbor, and you know each other, all right? But how many of your neighbors do you know well enough to know if they're saved or not? How many of your neighbors come over and get a couple ribs off the rack every now and then when you're cooking, you know? Are they that close? I mean, you got to be pretty close. You got to be family to get my ribs, I'm just saying. And y'all are family, by the way, but I'm just saying. You're not just going to walk up to my grill and just take a rib without me knowing who you are. This is the way it is. But you know, every relationship you have in your life, God can use for evangelism. God can use to get someone else closer to Christ. If they're already saved, then he can use you to minister them in such a way to get them wherever it is they need to be with him. Maybe they're hurting, maybe they're lost, maybe there's something going on in their life, or maybe they're in sin and nobody knows about it, and you're the guy or the lady that God's going to use in their life to help them get closer to him, get back where God wants that person to be. That's ministry, y'all. And then the last one, conversational. Now, I know y'all think I struggle with this one. The only one got that was my wife. Conversational. It's really just conversation, right? You guys talk to people all the time. You have conversations with folks. But I wonder, sometimes I sit back and wonder, okay, how many conversations do I have with people during a day's time and on an average day? And then I say to myself, or maybe I should ask the Lord, what percentage of those conversations was helpful for your kingdom? Did I miss opportunities in a regular conversation? I'm talking about just a conversation. Maybe the neighbor came over to talk about grass cutting, as they seem to do a lot. I got two older gentlemen that live next door and across the street, and if one gets the mower out, then the other one has to get it out. They can do that three times a week, and they'll still both keep cutting. And if I get my mower out, then they both come out with their mowers. I'm like, y'all, it's not a competition. But we get out and talk about our lawnmowers and stuff. And that's fine, but at some point, especially for me personally, since everybody on the block knows I'm the preacher, it would seem odd if I never talked about the Lord. And if everybody on your block knows you're a believer, wouldn't it seem odd if you never talk about God? If it never comes up. Like, they say they're believers, but they don't never talk about God. What's up with that? And maybe they're the neighbors that are saying, man, we'd like to know some more about God. I wish we knew somebody that would talk about God. You see? So conversations might be your opportunities for outreach. Just conversations. And that's probably the most scary, don't you think? Think about it. It's probably the most scary for a lot of people because you don't want to say the wrong thing to somebody. You don't want to offend somebody. You don't want to get all in their closet. You want to be polite. We've been taught over the years in this country that politeness is important, and I think that's proper. I think that's correct to do. However, it seems like the effort to be polite sometimes overrules the command to make disciples. Think about that on the way home. Let the Lord do something with it, because that's true for me, y'all. There's been plenty of times when I'm having a conversation with myself. It's like, why don't you say this about that? Why don't you say this? And the whole time they're talking about something, and I'm over here, it's like, maybe they should know this, or maybe, and I don't never say it. Because, just to be honest, because sometimes you're concerned about what they're going to say, how they're going to react to what, to you bringing the Lord into it. And if you shut that, for me, the worry, the concern is, if I say something here and they get offended, I'll never have another opportunity. And it's all over with. Right? But I'm going to tell you something about that excuse. If I stand before the Lord and he asks me about it, it's not going to fly. Not going to fly with God. All right? So we're going to pray for boldness. We're going to pray for wisdom. We're going to pray for to be able to have such a focus on our mission that we don't miss so many opportunities, and that whatever the Lord leads us to do, whatever the Spirit of God puts on us to do or not do, that we would have the courage and strength to just do it in the name of Jesus for the sake of someone else's soul. That's what it looks like to be dropping people in the ceiling, making sacrifices. That's what it looks like to go out of your way, to make yourself uncomfortable so someone else might know something about the Lord. Because that's what it really is, isn't it? It's all about, I'm not comfortable with this. Okay, but God doesn't ask us if we're comfortable with it. He doesn't ask us if we like it or enjoy it. Right? He just wants you to go and do what he commands us to do. All right, one more scripture, and we're going to roll this thing up. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15 says this, "But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts." All right, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you. Again, yet with gentleness and reverence. All right, always gentleness and reverence. We're not going to be those people who call themselves Christians holding signs, condemning people, and pointing fingers. That's not the way Jesus did it, and that's not the way the Bible tells us to do it. Over and over again, God says, love people so much that they want to know who you are and want to know what you have to say. All right? Always be ready is the big idea in this particular verse. Always be ready to give an answer, to explain why you believe what you believe, why you live the way you live, why you're so excited about this Jesus guy. Why do you go to church on Sunday? Why is that so important? Always be ready to explain. And you don't have to have some scholarly explanation. Just talk to people and tell people. And you don't have to have 100% of the answers. But I'll tell you, the best way to be ready is be prayed up and read your Bible. Study this Bible and know all about what's in here. And keep learning about what's in here. You don't have to memorize stuff. That's what the Spirit of God is for. When the opportunities present themselves, the Spirit of God says, this is what the Lord would have you do. And if you get options, right, you're like, should I do this for this person? Or should I say this to that person? Or should I say that to that person? Well, the first two are not, those are pretty much sinful activities, so I guess we're going to go with three. That's how the Lord leads us. How many times have we went to God and say, hey, should we do this for these people? Should we help out in this need? Because we just want some guidance. And God's answer is, if you're loving someone, then yeah. Why would it be wrong? If it's not sinful and you're loving people, then yeah. right? And sometimes, this is the way the Lord deals with me, sometimes he's like, and if you don't get up and hurry up and do it, you're going to miss it. You're going to miss the opportunity, so get going. Sometimes we use the I'm going to pray about it as a procrastination situation. I'm still praying about it. I don't know if I'm going to do it or not. I'm still praying about it. I don't know if I'm going to talk to that person or not. And we might even be praying about it. The whole time the Lord's like, really? We've already talked about this. You already know the answer. And keeps presenting the situation to you. And it keeps on and keeps on. And because we're scared or we're confused or just nervous, we keep doing that. It takes faith to do it. It really does. It takes faith and it takes the Spirit of God and everything he offers us. Finally, in the next verse of 1 Peter chapter 3, it says, keep a good conscience so that in the thing in which you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ will be put to shame. Okay, so when we're scared or afraid or worried about what people might think or what someone might say or that the world might come against us because we're believers in Christ, which is happening, we have nothing to be concerned about. That would give us the boldness, right? Because we're doing everything we can do to stay close to Christ, repent every day. When we fall short, we repent, we receive God's grace and his forgiveness, and we continue to move on and not defeat ourselves, and we keep being bold, and we keep telling people about Jesus, and everybody in the world that's against God will come against us, guaranteed, and you will survive that because God handles that. You see. And you don't have to go far. You can read all through any part of the New Testament and see that the early believers, in the very first time the church started, they were treated poorly, really poorly, like bad poorly, like nothing we've ever experienced poorly. And what did they do? Every time they would get up and say, we can't help talking about Jesus. Smack down again, and they'd get back up and say, well, I don't know what you want us to do. What else should we talk about? There's nothing else to talk about but Jesus. And they'd get smacked down again. And they would keep getting up and going back. Then they'd get scattered because of the persecution across the world. And God would use that because wherever they went, they had to talk about Jesus. Is that still the church today? If we're going to be a healthy church, if we're going to be a growing church, that's who we're going to be. There's no two ways about it. Right? So keeping a good conscience just means you and the Lord are constantly working on things that you need to work on. That doesn't mean you're perfect. It just means that even if somebody came along and said, hey, I saw that family doing some sinful things the other day. Well, what they don't know is that family has gotten with the Lord and repented and been restored and been forgiven. It's wrong, but it's not going to affect their witness because God, it just helps their witness about God being graceful and forgiving and patient with us. That we're not perfect folks. We're forgiven folks, but we're not perfect, right? And we're getting better every day. Getting better. We're getting better, y'all. We're supposed to be getting better. We're supposed to be getting more and more like Jesus. So again, as I close, I'm going to submit the question. What are we willing to do to bring someone else to Christ? Is it on your mind all day, every day? Is it on your mind when you get up and when you go to bed? And some people say to the preacher, well, you're getting kind of ridiculous. All day, really? I got things to do. I got a life. Yeah, we have life because God gave it to us. And we have hope for eternal life because of Jesus on the cross. So I think having him on your mind all day, every day, is a kind of a small thing to ask. Especially if we love our Savior the way he loved us, right? And if we love people the way he loved people, then why wouldn't it be on our minds 24/7? And that doesn't mean you can't do your jobs or your life or live whoever, do whatever you do in your life. It means that Jesus is the head of it all and the most important thing of it all, and it's what it's all about. So how far are we willing to go? How far are you willing to go? How far am I willing to go? How much sacrifice am I willing to make for each one of us to reach one person? We have all we need to do the work. Don't you all agree? Nobody in here can say we don't have everything we need. We're not ready. No, we're ready. If you're a believer, you have everything you need. You have God the Father, you have Jesus the Savior, and you have the Holy Spirit, and you have His Word. What else do you need? What else? You don't need anything. You just need some lost folks to talk to and to live around. That's what you need. Each one of us who are saved by the blood of Christ, I assume you understand the gospel. You can't be saved without understanding the gospel. And all of you who are saved, I assume you understand it. So it's not like you can't tell someone else about it. I know it. I know it. I see it. I know it. I've seen it in every place I've ever served. They're like, oh, they'll bring it. Hey, can you come to my house, preacher? Because somebody, I've got so-and-so over here drinking coffee, and I want you to tell them the gospel. Well, why don't you tell them the gospel? I'll be running over. If you call me and tell me to do that, I will be right there. But the reality is you can tell them by the time I get there. You understand what I'm saying? If you're saved, you know enough about the gospel to help someone else know what you know. So all those things I listed a while ago, just pray about those things and ask God to help those things be a part of your life. You may not engage in all of those things, but some of those things are going to be a part of your life. And it may be a different thing depending on the situation. Everybody's different. People are different. You have to love them in different ways. Bottom line, and I'm done, we don't have any excuses. I love you, and the Lord loves you. And I'm speaking to myself just as much as I'm speaking to y'all. We have no excuses when it comes to preaching the gospel and trying to make people know the Lord. We are commanded and expected to do it. Right? If we do this work, we do it by faith, and that's what it takes. Just like those men dropping that one man through the roof, they did that by faith. They said, let's just cut a hole in the roof and get him down there, because we know that if he gets in the presence of Jesus, everything will be all right. They knew it by faith. Everything we do has to be done by faith. And God, we already know that we can count on God to be faithful, don't we? We can count on Him. We say it all the time. God's always faithful. He never fails us. But yet we shrink back sometimes. We just like, it's like, ready, set, go. Oh, I wasn't ready. Do it again. Time out. We want to call a spiritual timeout or something. No. Let's just do it, y'all. I'm really not saying we're not doing it. I'm just saying let's just turn it up a notch. How about that? Does that better sound better to y'all? Because I love you and the Lord loves you. If you're not saved, now's the time. I don't know what you're waiting on. All right? Because none of us guaranteed the rest of this day. That's a reality. And there's some people that y'all know need to hear that. Because they're living loose, aren't they? And they're doing things that they may not make it through the rest of the day. I got plenty of friends like that. You wonder, how do they make it through a day without killing themselves because of the reckless life they're living? They need Jesus, y'all. Let's stand together and we're going to sing. If you need to know the Lord, now's the time.